Good afternoon, everyone. Got another fantastic episode of our Welcome to Scotland series. I've come back up to the north now for my penultimate stop off up here, and I've come to now. I'm going to ask my guests to confirm this, but I believe it is the most northern club in professional Scottish football. Yes, that's
ESPFL. In ESPFL.
Yes, I'm at Elgin City. If you haven't figured it out, and I'm with Graham Tatters, chairman of the club. Graham, it's a real privilege. I really appreciate you giving us your time today to talk a little bit about the club. How's everything over there in Scotland?
Yeah, everything's good. Weather's great. A little bit of windy last night, but we're just preparing ready for the start of the season on the 20th. We trained on Saturday, trained again on Tuesday. We'll train tomorrow night, and then we're right into the thick of it on Saturday. We've got a friendly, and then Tuesday we've got another friendly. Then we've got our first league game, and then we're into the cup on the Tuesday. Oh, so we're ready to go at the moment.
Brilliant! You must be so happy to get back to it.
Yeah, well, it's trepidation, though. It's tempered with trepidation because, you know, we're going to have to spend a lot of money in testing and getting everybody around the country. And if it just lasts a couple of games, then we go into another lockdown, then we've wasted everything. It's been a really difficult time, a difficult decision to make. But we've decided now we're going for 22 games and we'll see where we get to.
Well, I was going to say that's been confirmed now, because in my last interview, it was still to be decided. So,
well, the clubs have decided. It's now got the SPFL, and the SPFL have got some concerns about trying to get a 22-game season with the dates that are left. And if there's any COVID or any bad weather, we could struggle. So I think they're going to decide to go points per game if you don't finish your season.
Ah, okay.
Won't finish the last one off. That's how we finish the last league.
Fingers crossed it gets decided pretty
soon. Weather's beautiful at the moment, so we hope that it's going to be great. The pitch is in good nick. Club's ready to go. The squad's ready to go. We're just ready to get going.
Now, I've got to ask you, Graham, obviously, people listening at home, you don't sound like you're from Elgin yourself originally. I don't know what it is that gives it away.
I've been up here since 73. I joined the Air Force in 66 when I was 16, 17. And I did a bit of time at RAF Lochan, did an apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. Did a tour abroad at a place called RAF Gan. Came back from there, went air crew. Went to St. Morgan, did my OCU, then came up, posted up to Kinloss in July 73, and I've been here ever since. So I flew on Nimrods for a couple of years, several years, and then I specialised in maritime simulation. And mm-hmm. then I ended up in the simulated squadron, and then I stayed there until 2012. And then when they cancelled the Nimrods, I closed two of the buildings down and got rid of all the stuff from them, and then I just left. But in the meantime, I'd been at various positions at Elgin.
I was going to say, so how did you get started with them?
I was I played in the Air Force at a reasonable standard, not for the Air Force, but for command and groups and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I played in what they call the North Region Juniors, mm-hmm. and I played for RAF Kinloss. And then when I moved into Elgin, I decided to get involved with Bishamill United, who were the team that played out of Borough Briggs, which is Elgin City's ground. So they shared it with Elgin City. And there's a guy called John Teasdale came and asked me if I'd give him a hand. He got the manager's job and asked me if I'd give him a hand training them. So I started off as trainer, then I went assistant manager. And then John left, and I went on as a manager. And then I left and then came back as a manager. I've been manager about four or five times, I think, at various times. And then I got involved with the directors and getting on the board when there was a takeover bid at Elgin. And mm-hmm. I got involved with that. And then I was, again, manager for a while, then director of football, then chairman, then eventually vice chairman, then I was made chairman about, I don't know how many years ago, 7, 8 years ago.
Wow, that is a story enough. That really is. You are basically Mr. Elgin then. Yeah, you must absolutely love it up there.
Yeah, it's a great place to live. I mean, you know, quality of life. I mean, I had two sons up here, both of them played sport. One played football, one played golf. Mm-hmm. Both went to America, did college degrees in America. My youngest one's still across there. He works for Apple. And my other son's over here working for moves goods around the country. And he's the golfer. He's a really good golfer. Tried being a pro for a while, but to try and be a pro in America is a bit of a big step. And he just didn't make it, so... But he put himself in the arena, really proud of him, you know, chuffed with both my kids.
Oh, that's
and
great.
But the I started off, I'd never played for Elgin, but I got involved with it. And, you know, just to get involved and to keep a club going that struggles all the time for finance, it's quite difficult, but it's very, very rewarding when you see yourself succeeding.
I can only imagine it must be. I mean, Elgin sort of first popped up on my radar when they joined the SPFL. Was it back in the 90s?
2000.
With Peter. What was the success like sort of pre-Dark? Yeah, I assume it was Highland League.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we dominated the Highland League for years and years and years. And then we hit it a bit of a, around the 90s, 91, 92, we won the league and lost it over a clause, some sort of stupid thing about we played on a Friday night, brought a game forward. If we played on a Saturday, one of the guys would have been suspended. So we got reported in the Highland League, took a vote and they take the league off us, which was absolutely, it was actually borderline criminal. Yeah. But in the end, you kind of beat them, the powers that be. So we lost the league, and then we were due to try and get in the league that year. That killed us. That they just didn't bother looking at us at all. And then after that, we tried to attempt to get in the league again, and we managed it eventually. But we probably didn't have the best side in the world to go into, and we didn't have the finances that you need. Cali Thistle in Ross County and Peterhead, when they went in there, Cali Thistle had both the Caledonian, Inverness Cali and the Inverness Thistle sides. And they had a good investment, sold one of the grounds, so they did very well. They got a lot of help from HIE, and they did very well, and credit to them. Ross County did very well. They had really good backing, really good sponsorship, and now Roy's there. It's fantastic for them. But we've never had that, so everything we do, we have to make it ourselves, you know. Now we're in a little bit of success here and there. We've got really good sponsors, you know, like McDonald Monroe and a couple of others are excellent. So we've kept them for two or three or four or five years nowadays, and they've been great. So it gives you a good stance at the beginning of the season. You can spend a bit on players, you know. So that's helped us a lot. But it's very, very difficult to get out of this league. Really difficult. I spend a lot of money.
I can see it's certainly been made a lot harder this year with Queen's Park turning professional as well.
Well, then, you know, other times is Edinburgh City spent a bit of money. Cove spent a lot of money. They got promoted. Best luck to them. I mean, I'm jealous because we haven't got that sort of money to spend. Mm-hmm. So I'm not criticising them. Best luck to them. And they've done well. They've done very well with the money they've got and managed to get promoted, which is great for them.
You mentioned there, obviously, Inverness, Peterhead and Ross County. What's the relationship like amongst with you and the other clubs up there? Do you have a kind of a camaraderie between you?
Well, certainly with Cali. I mean, John Robertson is great with us. We get on with John very, very well. And as I said to you, Stevie Ferguson, Stuart Kettlewell, we've always got on very well with them. And I know Roy quite well. They're really good, you know. And it's a really good relationship because if they've got players, they want them put out on loan, and that we get them. If we've got first choice on them. And if we're struggling for something, they'll help us with advice and everything. I talk to John Robertson a lot. He's very, I mean, guy's got mountains and mountains and mountains of experience at the level he's been at. Oh, yeah. But Stevie's very good as well. Stevie's been in youth football for years, and then he went with Stuart as assistant manager, and then he's now director of football. And Stevie, they're just fantastic. There's nothing at the moment that I've asked them that they haven't done for me. Nothing.
That's good to hear. That is good to hear. It's great to say for me. I love the fact that the clubs up there are doing. That you know, all four of you are doing really, really well. It's great to see the way, you know, when I think back, I'm just turned 40. So when I think back to my childhood and not one of the four clubs who are in the SPFL, to see them, you know, all going strong.
Right. And Ross County in particular, I mean, you know, they've got Dingwall's quite a small place, but you've got a pretty well off guy who's got an interest in it called Roy McGregor. And he's just a really lovely, lovely man, just a genuinely lovely man. And he's, you know, that I don't know if they'd survive without him because, you know, the crowds and that aren't great. Cali have been up and down, but I think he made a huge mistake in naming their club Inverness Cali Thistle. I should have just named it Inverness United or Inverness City because there's still a lot of people who don't go to Cali games and they go to Ross County instead because they just won't go there because of the name Cali. You know, and obviously Thistle supporters don't do it, so it's quite disappointing because, I mean, they've really worked hard and they've, you know, dragged themselves, you know, right from Division Three, right through, and they've been up and down. They've won the cup. They've done fantastic, and they're well, you know, reasonably well-run football club. You know, and Scott Gardner's trying his best, but it's finances is really difficult for them now. It's getting harder and harder. You've got to have a lot of money now to get promoted or to keep yourself in that position.
Certainly do. Well, we're going to talk now about Elgin. So, over the last, you'll see, 21 years then, you've been in the SPFL. What have been the big successes? What have been the standout occasions for you?
Surviving in the league. It's in the first 10, 15 years, it was really difficult. Mm-hmm. We improved a bit with later on, about 5 years ago. And then we took a big jump when Jim Weir came in. Jim Weir took us another level. He was an excellent manager. And his assistant, Gavin Price, stayed with us when Jim left and went to Forfa. And we had the fundamentals of a good side. And with Jim and Gav, they brought in some quality players. And one good thing is when you get a couple of quality players, other quality players want to come in. Mm-hmm. But it's costing us more and more and more every year because of, obviously, the pyramid system, which is huge.
Well, cool. We'll jump onto that a little bit later. As you say there, just for a club like Elgin, where you say about the finances are a big part of it, how's the club structured? How have you structured the club there? Are there a lot of volunteers that get involved?
Yeah. We're a limited company, a public limited company. We got about 100 not maybe, I can't remember how many shareholders we've got. Mm-hmm. Small shareholders, but one of the major shareholders is a guy called Mr. Robertson, Billy Robertson, who's a builder in the area, really, really very, very successful businessman. And he took it because what was happening, his nephew was in charge of the club when somebody tried to take it over. And it wasn't a nice takeover bid. So Mr. Robertson came in and bought the club, basically, bought 280,000 shares. And he got got it for his nephew, and it was great, you know. So from that day, the club's sort of it's stabilised a lot. Mm-hmm. We're not struggling financially anymore to what we should do or what we could do, but we don't have that extra 10-15% to be able to go ahead and get the bigger players in to get us promoted. Mm-hmm. And again, we'll go into the playoffs and the pyramid system when you get to it. But at the moment, we're quite well off, you know. We've got a very, very good side, a good manager. The infrastructure of the club's excellent. You know, it's a really lovely ground. You know, the guys in the 60s and 70s who ran the football club was in the Highland League. I mean, they made thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds on the bingo, the social club. It was the place to go to in the 60s and 70s. And then, of course, I think once they got away from the 10 o'clock closing times and opened up all the clubs and discos opened up in Elgin, it became more and more difficult. And people's whole mentality changed about entertainment. And then the bingo ended up, you've got a big company in doing the bingo in the local cinema, and they're in the national jackpots and everything, and our bingo just couldn't survive. Or the bingo I was involved in, and the bingo couldn't survive. So the social club works hard, and it's got a good committee and everything, works really hard. But you're dealing now with the disco era, social media era. It's very, very difficult to get people to stay in the football club, whereas they can wander around five or six different pubs in the town and be seen everywhere, you see.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, what sort of attendances are you getting up there?
We can get anywhere from 5 to 750.
That's good.
When we're in the playoffs and that, we'd be up to about 1,100, 1,200. The Rangers game, we had 3,500 or something.
Just to give a for people who don't know Scotland so well, what's the population up there like? I mean, you were saying 1,000.
Well, you've probably got a catchment area because you used to have RAF Kinloss, which had 3,500 people. And mm-hmm. You've got Rathlossie, you've got an Elgin, and you had a really good catchment area. You're probably talking about 30,000 maybe to get people to come, because you've got, at the time with the Highland League, you had Lossie, Forest Mechanics, Rothers, Bucky. Then they're all in the Highland League. So, you know, it was quite localised, but it was quite competitive. And, you know, the camaraderie and the derby games were really something, you know.
Well, that's what I was wanting to ask you. You know, do you still have to compete with the Highland League teams for the support, or sort of the Elgin not the main focus?
Some people with Elgin won't come to Elgin because we left the Highland League, and some people with Elgin still want us to go back to the Highland League. You know, and that's one of the hardest battles ever. Every season we start the season thinking what we've got to do is not become Club 42, and end up not playoffs. So that's the main name. I mean, that's not lack of ambition. I mean, we want to be promoted the same as anybody. But if you get promoted, you've got to be able to sustain it. And to sustain it, you'd have to have maybe 10, 15, 20% more income, which is really difficult to try and achieve. But if we get there, we might restructure, we'll do things, we'll try and sort it out if we get there.
You've mentioned it, about the pyramid. That's obviously had some quite strong negative sort of knock-on effects for a club like yourself.
When we went in the league, there was no relegation. And the pyramids probably made it more competitive in the fact that nobody wants to be a team for Club 42. Mm-hmm. But I would think that every team in the second division probably spends maybe 30 to 40 grand more than they can actually afford trying to keep away from Club 42. It's just it would be a disaster to end up in that because you look at Berwick and East Stirling, they're just gone. That's it. You hardly ever hear them anymore, you know. And Berwick was a lovely club. Berwick was a great set of lads, a really nice committee. Just went through a bad patch and couldn't get out of it. East Stirling, they were along with us at the bottom for many years, but you couldn't get relegated. Then, of course, now the pyramid comes and it's actually horrendous. It's fantastic for the punters. It's great for the TV and the playoffs and that. But for the teams involved, I mean, I talked to Donald Finley at Cowdenbeath a lot. I talked to Peter Davison at Montrose. He went through it when it first started. Absolutely horrendous. You know, it's just, you just don't want to be there. You know, and that's, so you're spending a lot of money that you really can't afford to keep away from that. You know?
It is a hard one. Have you found since pyramids open up, have finances increased, sort of revenue increased at all elsewhere from the federation or the like?
No. The revenue is not. The revenue's increased because we've worked harder to get. We've got a very good main sponsor. We've got several other sponsors. We do things like we've got a city saver. We sell bricks. We've got about 400 people bought bricks, and you put them on a big wall outside the ground. You know, showing your support. We've got lots of, I wouldn't say lesser sponsors. They're all good sponsors, but you know, not everybody can put their names on the front of the shirt, but we've got people in the back of the shirt, people in the shorts, people in the tracksuits. It's just, it's a continuous struggle, but the support in Elgin is fantastic and from the community, absolutely brilliant. Such a good, I mean, you know, we're far, I think, way ahead of any other supported team in the second division, way ahead.
Oh, that's great to hear. And if I flip that around as well, I mean, how does the club give back to the community? Are there any sort of projects going on there?
We've got a very, very good community setup. Mm-hmm. We're probably one of the few clubs in the second division that employs 4 people full time. We've got a youth guys in charge of the academy, another guy's a community. And then we just had to let one of the ladies go who was very, very good as a receptionist, but we couldn't afford to keep her. So we've got one guy who does all the admin and the finance, sort of your chief executive, if you want for a better phrase. And we've got five directors who just work. Two of us, myself and a guy called Cecil Jack, who's just fantastic. He's 80, coming up to 80, but you wouldn't think it. He's just a workhorse. And we keep the club taking over the facilities, the maintenance and that sort of thing. And the other people deal with the finance and getting finance. We do a lot of merchandise sales. Our social club is really good. We've got a fantastic social club. We've got one room upstairs, which takes about 200 people. And then we've got another room, which takes about 100. And there we often have full hospitality during the season. And we still do dances and all that sort of thing on a Saturday night. And weddings, birthday parties, retirement dues, funerals, anything at all that you can get in. The problem is that we're not capable of being open like a pub. It's not a pub. It's just a social club opens up sometimes on a Friday night if there's something happening, but mainly only on a Saturday when there's a game on or when we've got a function at night is the only time the social club opens.
I mean, Say you're talking about social club there, just if we can focus on the ground a bit for the next few minutes. Whereabouts in Elgin are you located? Are you central?
Right in the middle of Elgin, just next to Tesco's, next to the leisure centre, next to the bus station. It's all really a little bit further away from the railway station, maybe a mile from the railway station, but it's easily walked. It's a traditional, really traditional sort of old ground. The far side is a big long enclosure with roof covered and standing room only with a soup kitchen on the left hand side. On the right hand side, we've just put a pump house in. We've got a sprinkler system within the ground, which is, not many people have got that. And then on the south side of the ground is a 500 seater stand. And the changing rooms are all built underneath the stand. And the social club is attached to the stand, either side of it, all built on afterwards, which is fantastic. Another set of, on the right-hand side, we're looking to get, there's a charity being formed, and they're just putting in a 4G pitch on the right-hand side of our ground, on the east side of it. And we've built changing rooms and toilets that we hope that will help that, encourage that to be utilised. And then on the left-hand side, we've got a big shed that's been built recently to take all the agricultural equipment. And then we've got a soup kitchen. And our main offices are part of the, as you walk in, underneath the stand again, the main offices with the hospitality and a social club bar. So we've got a bar on the right-hand side of the offices. The left-hand side is the changing rooms. And then upstairs, you've got the 200 seater and 100 seater, two halls.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Is that where most supporters congregate? I mean, pre-COVID, is
that the game, in the bar. The bar's chocker before the game. It's excellent, you know. And we do corporate stuff, you know. We do conferencing. We have lots of people who come in and utilise the facilities, because it's one of the biggest rooms, actually, is apart from the town hall, it's one of the biggest rooms for any functions in Elgin. It's fantastic.
Oh, brilliant. Now, you'll have to excuse me now, Graham. This is a bit going to be a bit cheeky here. When I started off these Scottish podcasts, I didn't expect to be talking about pies. But as I've been talking with various clubs, everybody starts raving about their pies, even recently at Montrose and at Hearts and all over. Now, what's the food like up there? Do you have a decent pie? I mean, you mentioned the soup kitchen.
I think probably we've got the best pie in Scotland, I think.
You're putting it up there as the best as...
Oh, yeah, aye. It's excellent. our supporters club are superb. Yeah. And our hospitality, the hospitality upstairs is second to none. I mean, you get people who've been all around the world. I mean, I've been to Man United and to the hospitalities in the stand and upstairs and there in the boxes. The food at Elgin, we've got a guy who's called David Guidi, who runs a restaurant in Lossie. And we used to have another guy called Ken Asher. It was good when Ken Asher did it. And then David Guidi came in, and he's just it's continued the same standard. The hospitality is absolutely superb. The value for money is just unbelievable. And it does really well. The problem is, it's just probably too successful, and consumer giving alcohol free, we're not making as much money as we should make it on it. But it's an excellent day out, fantastic day out for the hospitality at Elgin.
Ah, that's great. What's the buzz? Again, sort of pre-COVID, of course. But what was the buzz like on the match? Did they make a good racket during the game?
Yeah, I think you know, it depends on the team who's playing and whether the game. Normally, the games are, you get some good games, you get some great games. You know, most games are good anyway at Elgin. We play a really good fast flowing with loads of width. We've got, you know, we play really good attacking football. The Gavin's got that structure where we play the two-way players and the guy up front. We lost Shane Sutherland, was a bit difficult. We've got to find somebody who scored 20-odd goals for us, where he did that quite easily. But we've got a guy called Kane Hester who's come in, who's absolutely tremendous. He was at Montrose. Peter knew him well at Montrose. Then he went to Arbroath. But he's a really, really good guy, and he's a lovely player. And young lad, still a young lad.
Been hearing good things about him, actually.
That's the problem. You know,
sorry,
but we need to keep a hold of him. That's the problem. You know?
Yeah,
because we lost Shane to Cali for nothing. That was unfortunate because his contract was finishing. But Shane had come from Cali when he was 17. He was desperate to go back there, and he's done well since he went back. He's a tremendous player. went to Peterhead, didn't set the header right in Peterhead, but came back to us and then just continued scoring goals. And then Cali just waited, watched what he's doing, and just thought, you know, something, will take him back, and they just took him back, which is just fair enough in his contract.
Just something that just popped in my head there. I would like to ask, because when I was doing the Peterhead podcast, I spoke with Joshua Ray, the goalkeeper, and he was telling me, obviously, he lives down in the Central Belt and only travels up for match days.
Yeah, they don't train Peterhead. They train
This is what I wanted to ask you, you know, where do you recruit your players from? Are they locally based, or do you
across? That was one of the things that probably turned the corner a little bit there, Jim. When Jim came in, he used to travel up from Perth at least once a week. Gav would come up from Aberfeldy at least once a week. And they tried to generate a much more local side. But what happens now is we've got Ewan Spark, Kane Hester, the assistant managers from Dundee, got David Wilson from Aberdeen. They all come every Tuesday and Thursday night. They come and train in Elgin. Oh, once a week, sorry. They train in Elgin. And the Glasgow guys, that's the four Glasgow guys, that's a bit difficult. You can't expect them to travel. They only come for games at home. But they came up on Saturday. We trained on Saturday. If we train on Saturday, they'll come up. So Bronski and Connor O'Keefe and all them, they came up on Saturday and trained. Well, it's a major problem, you know, for the guys to, you pay a premium for them because obviously they're good players as well. But also they could get, you know, take about 10, 15 quid less or something, but be home by 7:30 playing the Central Belt. Whereas they're at home, it'll happen at 10, 11 o'clock, sometimes even later. That's on a night game, they don't get about 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, in the home night game. But we've got an excellent squad at the moment. It really is very good. We've just brought in a lad who was for Martin, one of the Highland League clubs. He's just come back to us. He's been back to us 3 or 4 times, called Archie McPhee. And we're picking up another kid from Stirling University soon. So that's pretty good. We got 2 from Stirling University last year, which have proved to be quite good acquisitions.
I was having a look. You weren't having too bad a season before lockdown, if I read it right. Second, yeah?
There's three of us on 18 points. We've got probably the better goal difference, so we're second. But, we're having a good... We look at this way. We don't fear anybody. You know, Queen's Park beat us 1-0, but we've got a really good penalty shout that we didn't get. And... Edinburgh City was played in the most horrendous conditions, should never have kicked off. And just they scored with the win and we didn't. And that's where it all came down to that. They scored one really scrappy goal. But that's what's like, you know, that's what wins you championships, you know.
Definitely. Well, I wish you best of luck for the remain. It's gonna be a crazy sort of 6 weeks or so, trying to fit in all the games, but
well, it's going to be 3 games, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturdays. I mean, that's playable. It's not a major problem. One of the problems of that is, one, you hope you don't get anybody with COVID because we've got to start testing now. But 2 is that you're taking guys off work. You know, we'll play Annan. I mean, I doubt some of the guys will even go to work. You leave at 10 o'clock, half past 11, I think you leave for Annan. So, you know, and then we've got 5 away games and 4 home games. And then we start this after the split. We've got 4 other games to make it up to 22.
Yeah. One final question from me is something I ask all my guests.
The best looking chairman in Scotland.
Exactly. You've won it hands down, mate. You've won it hands down.
Yeah, what's the final question?
Which places away from Elgin, when the fixtures come out, do you look forward to because of the location or maybe the ground or something? For people listening, just, you know, places for them to add on to their bucket list because you enjoy
it. I don't travel. I don't do away games.
You don't do them?
No, I vomit. That's the last one I got to. I used to, when I was in the Air Force, I used to be sick nearly every trip on the Nimrod. It was terrible. Vomiting, travel sickness. And then going, I'm okay if I drive. So, like, on a Sunday, I used to, until last year or the year before, I used to drive a 17-seater with at least one of the youth teams every single Sunday. Mm-hmm. It was never a problem. But getting in a bus I just sick as a dog. So, and I'm 71. I thought, shit, no, I don't need to do this anymore. So I just stopped. But I also, you know, just, it's, at the moment, that's one of the problems at the moment. There's no enjoyment in this at the moment. You're sitting watching a game with a mask on. You're 2 metres away from everybody. There's no crack. there's no atmosphere in the ground. It's just absolutely terrible. And I just wonder sometimes what we're trying to do. We're supposed to be in the entertainment industry, and we're not entertaining anybody. But hey, it is what it is. Same as everybody else. I mean, you must admit, watching the Premier League game is absolutely crap at the moment, isn't it?
I'll be honest, I don't watch them. I actually don't watch them.
I watched Man City, Man United on Saturday, on Sunday. Was it Sunday? Sunday, I think it was, and it was just absolutely terrible. Enough the players. I mean, you've got some of the best players in the world there, you know. But you kind of play with nobody. I mean, the atmosphere at a Liverpool game, and you know, certain games with the atmospheres, and we get really some great atmospheres at our place. The atmosphere at the Rangers game was just absolutely fantastic when we played Rangers. That was brilliant, you know. And people go on about Rangers supporters and whatever, you know, the old firm and that. But I tell you what, Walter Smith and Ali McCoist, they couldn't have been nicer. The whole thing, they just stood there, they signed autographs, they talked to people. Their fans came, and their fans were just absolutely brilliant. We had, I don't know, well towards 4,000 people in the ground, and there wasn't one ounce of trouble, none. Oh, everybody just, I mean, mind you, half of those people there were Elgin supporters who supported Rangers. You know, so we had segregation, but that was only so that the people from Glasgow were in one side. But the rest of the crowd were nearly all loads of Rangers support. It's the thing I can't grasp. You see, I come from Newcastle and everybody supports Newcastle. Whereas I come up here and more than half your population supports Celtic and half supports Rangers. And then we're trying to pick up the bits to try and get people to watch Elgin on a Saturday. Coming from Elgin to go to Celtic and to Rangers games every Saturday, leaving Elgin, just pouring out Elgin from Wick, everywhere, just guys. And, you know, best luck to them. Because it's good entertaining stuff. The Old Firm games, the atmosphere in Old Firm game is just unbelievable, you know. But Elgin's good. It's a lovely, one of the main things is it's a beautiful place to live. And I brought my sons up here. The quality of life is just fantastic. You know, when my sons were born, they're playing golf for £8 a year. I just kind of do that. Two of the best quality golf courses there. Happy days.
Well, I know, just talking to other clubs, a lot of people, you know, picked out places like Elgin and that, especially the Highland clubs, for want of a better word to describe them. You up there, as some of their favourite away days in Scotland. They really do.
I think the hospitality up here is, I mean, you know, you haven't got the Central Belt West Coast image, you know, and they're beautiful people, lovely people, but I mean, they are, I mean, diehard fanatics, Celtic and Rangers, and then you've got Hibs and Hearts, you know, so it's really is, they're diehards. People go and live there, they'll name the kids after 16 different players or something, you know. But up here, we do, because people are travelling the distance, I think we do make a bit of a better effort, or more of an effort. Not the second division. Second division is excellent. Everybody in the second division is very good. And Annan's probably the same as us, you know. Annan's the same sort of place. Nice people just want to get on and enjoy themselves. The Central Belt clubs are different, you know, because they've some of them have been used to success and everything. So but it's still everybody. We have a second division chat room, and all during this period where we're trying to sort the fixtures out, people can give an opinion. People can say things that some people might take umbrage at, but there's no hassle. Everybody just understands that everybody's in the same boat. We're all trying to achieve the same aim, whatever happens. And we'd all want to be promoted, and we don't want to be Team 42. So, you know, that Club 42, sorry.
Well, I'll say wish you the best of luck, Graham. I really do.
I hope we go to success.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to be watching very closely for the remainder of this season. People listening, if they want to follow the Elgin story a bit more, where's the best place for them to follow on the social medias?
Yeah, we've got Elgin City website. Elgin City. I can't remember what it's called. I mean, I just click in Elgin City. But it's quite a good, we've just had it revamped, really good website. You can buy your merchandise off it. It keeps you up to date with all the transfers. It just, everything keeps you up to date with everything. It's an excellent website. Oh. That's another thing. We 2 years ago, we decided we had to move into the, not so much the social era, but more that we had to improve, our communication with fans. And we do try very hard. But one of the things that we expect people to know what's going on every minute of the day, well, like the last 6 weeks, I've been to meetings, that's 15 hours this week, or last week, two weeks, 15 hours worth of meetings, and we still haven't got a decision. So you can't go and tell anybody. And one of the problems is, of course, somebody lets it slip to a newspaper, then the fans get upset because you haven't told them. But you've all agreed not to tell the newspapers, and somebody slips it out. So it's really difficult. And we do desperately try to keep the fans on side, because that's the lifeblood of the club. And that's what's killing it at the moment, not having fans in there. But, and we're lucky we've got a fantastic set of supporters.
So hopefully we get people back in as soon as possible. We've seen it here in Ukraine. The fans have been back in there for about a month, and it's added so much.
Well, we had 300 in, but we had 300 in. It wasn't 300. We had 200 and something. We're low 300, but we got 200 and something in. And even just those 200 people, it was just fantastic. It was really, really, it felt as though that all the effort you were putting in made it worthwhile, you know, and the players all appreciated it. You know, but again, that was, the guys were standing 2 meters apart, and you know, it looked very Spartan, but it was still a reasonable crowd, you know. Yeah. But it was, we'll just see where we go. I'm trying to be optimistic, I really am, but I just don't know how long it's going to last. And what worries me is every time we get started, something else happens and get another spike, and that knocks it back again.
Say, hopefully, with I've forgotten the word now. The jabs that everyone's having, it'll start to come.
Yeah, I've had my Pfizer one, and I'm just waiting for my second one. But you know, we're doing well in Elgin. It's been very well run. Everybody's getting their jabs. We're now down to 60-year-olds, I think. So it's coming. I think you've just got to hope that the immunisation program will eventually sort it out. You know.
I say. All right then, Graham. Well, thank you so much for today. That's the end of the podcast, everyone. I'm Adam at UkraFoot24. We've really appreciated your time today, Graham. And we'll say we'll all be watching Elgin closely, cheering you on from wherever people are listening around the world. Till next time, everyone at home. I'm Adam at UkraFoot24. This has been another podcast for Shoot the Fence. Till then, take care, stay safe for now. Goodbye.